Welcome to Grace in Focus. Thank you for tuning in. So glad that you have. We are answering questions from listeners just like you, and today's question is this: do all Christians get to participate in the resurrection? That's a great question, and it is one that we're going to tackle in today's episode. But before we do that, I'd like to tell you that you can get your questions answered by sending us an email at radio@faithalone.org. We look forward to hearing from you to answer any questions you have. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to the show. We just have all kinds of interesting questions that you've been sending us. You can send your Bible questions or theology questions to radio@faithalone.org. Although our focus is on the promise of eternal life, salvation issues, assurance of salvation issues, we love all theology, all the Bible, and so you can feel free to ask us questions about anything. For example, Larry, he has a question about the resurrection. And he says, in Philippians 3:11, Paul writes that he may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And Revelation 24-6 indicates that some will be raised in the first resurrection and to reign with Christ, while others will not be raised until the end of the thousand-year reign. And in 2 Timothy 2:12-13, it says, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. I'm wondering if while all who trust in Jesus Christ alone will have eternal life, but perhaps some through unfaithfulness or lack of loyalty to the Lord in this life may forfeit being raised in the first resurrection to reign with King Jesus during the millennium. Perhaps you can direct me to a teaching that will clarify this for me. So what is Larry's question? Larry's question is it possible that unfaithful believers will not be raised to reign with Christ during the millennium, but I guess their resurrection will happen after that because they've been disqualified from reigning with Christ? So maybe the underlying question is, does being disqualified from reigning with Christ mean you're not in the millennium at all?
Okay, let's go over those three passages one by one.
Yeah.
In terms of this point, the answer is no. The fact that a person will not reign with Christ does not mean he won't be in the millennium. 1 Thessalonians 5:10 is in a context dealing with the rapture, starting in 4:13 through 18 and then 5:1 through 11. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:10, Paul says, whether we watch, or whether we sleep, we shall live together with him. And so the point is that when the Lord returns, whether we're watchful or whether we're morally asleep, either way, we're going to live forever with him.
Okay, so that answers the question, if we're unfaithful. You're saying being unfaithful is kind of like being asleep here.
Right. Being asleep, if you go back to, I think it's verse 6, to be asleep is to be morally lethargic, not pleasing the Lord.
But even those believers will be together forever with him.
Right. So there's no, even though there have been some dispensationalists who have argued that unfaithful believers miss the millennium, that is not consistent with 1 Thessalonians 5:10 or other texts as well.
Well, now I can imagine Larry saying, I'm not denying that they're going to be with Jesus forever. I'm just saying that they might have to wait an extra 1,000 years before that happens.
Well, that means they're not with Jesus forever. I mean, if you're not within first 1,000 years of the eternal kingdom, if you're in time out for 1,000 years,
right,
then you're with him forever minus 1,000 years. I think we can go through these three texts and see that they don't quite say what Larry was talking about.
All right, let's go to Philippians 3:11, which says this. I'll start at verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, Larry, I think, is thinking that this means Paul's not sure whether he's going to be raised from the dead or not in the future.
Well, before the millennium.
Before the millennium.
I think his view is Paul's concerned he might be raised after the millennium. And that's not what Philippians 3:11 is talking about. Being conformed to his death doesn't mean somehow I am literally going to be crucified on a cross. What it means is I'm partaking in his suffering.
Here.
Here.
And now.
And if I am, then I am partaking in his resurrection power. Most commentators point out that verse 11, attaining to the resurrection, it doesn't look to the future, it looks to right now. And I want to attain the resurrection power of Jesus. And I would encourage Larry to do a word study on the word resurrection. And what you will find is it's a common theme in the New Testament that we're to live in the power of Christ's resurrection. You see this, of course, in Romans 6, 7, and 8, especially Romans chapter 8. Well, in 6, we've been raised to walk in newness of life, yeah. Right? Yeah. That's a spiritual raising that's already occurred.
Right. So what you're saying is when Paul is talking about wanting to know the power of his resurrection and wanting to attain the resurrection from the dead, he's talking about a source of spiritual strength for the here and now.
Absolutely.
You're drawing on that resurrection power for Christian living in the here and now. He's not wondering about future resurrection from the dead. He's talking about power experience now.
Right. If you read 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18, evidently what was going on in Thessalonica is they were concerned that their beloved loved ones who died were going to miss the millennium because only the people who were raptured were going to be in the millennium. That's what they were evidently thinking. And Paul says, no, comfort one another because the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive will be caught up and meet them in the air. And then he ends by saying in verse 18, comfort one another. Well, how could you comfort one another if the unfaithful believers who are going to be raised first, the dead in Christ will rise first? It doesn't say the faithful dead in Christ will rise first.
Right.
All the dead in Christ will rise first. That's why you can comfort one another with these words.
Right. Going back to Philippians 3, I look at verse 12. And after he says, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead, in verse 12 he says, not that I've already attained. Well, if he was talking about this eschatological raising of the dead in the future, this would be a no-duh statement.
This
right?
would be kind of nonsensical. This would be,
of course it hasn't happened. Of course right. he haven't attained it. It hasn't happened yet, Paul.
Right.
But if he's talking about a present experience of the power of the resurrection, well, this makes total sense. He's saying, I haven't quite gotten there yet.
And he's reaching forward for eternal rewards, as he goes on to say in verse 13.
Right. And by the way, when Paul was writing these words, he was in prison, isn't that right?
Right. This is one of the four prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon.
So if there's at any time in his life where he needs the power, like Christ's resurrection power operating in his life, it was during this severe persecution time.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
All right, well, let's go on to the next verse, Revelation 20:4-6.
Yeah, now Revelation 20:4-6, I don't think says what he thinks it's saying. Why don't we read that?
And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and the judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection.
One unique thing about the tribulation, and that's what verse 4 is talking about, tribulation saints who were martyred for their faith in Christ. And he's saying they've been raised and they're going to rule with Christ for 1,000 years. One thing that's unique about that is 100% of the believers who survive the tribulation will be faithful. Matthew 24, verse 13, he who endures to the end shall be saved. And saved is explained in verse 22 as, unless those days were cut short, no flesh would be saved. Meaning that everybody at the end that's still alive, that's a believer, is going to be faithful. Among those who died as believers, some will be faithful, some not. Well, these are faithful ones, and they're all going to be raised, and they're going to spend 1,000 years reigning with Christ. The Lord is not saying here that the unfaithful ones won't be raised too. It's just they're not going to rule with Christ for 1,000 years. In verse 5, the rest of the dead did not live. Okay, who are the rest of the dead?
Yeah, so is the rest of the dead the unfaithful people? You're saying no.
No, the rest of the dead are the unbelievers. And it's not just the unbelievers from the tribulation, but it's also the unbelievers of all time. They're going to be raised after the millennium. Before the millennium, all believers will be raised. Now, there's some question as to whether will Old Testament saints be raised at the same time that New Testament saints are raised? At the time of the rapture, will it only be the church? That's a common dispensational view. And then after Christ returns and sets foot on the Mount of Olives, is that when the Old Testament saints? not real clear exactly when Old Testament saints will be raised, but clearly before the millennium.
Right, because that's part of the promises God gave to Israel.
Right, they have to take part in the millennium. Now, will you read verse 6 also?
Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Does that mean everyone who gets raised before the millennium reigns with him for 1,000? That would contradict this idea that you can be denied reigning.
Right. No, what this is saying here is the key word is the word part. It's the Greek word meros. He says, blessed and holy is the one who has part in the first resurrection. This is the same exact word used in John 13. Remember where Jesus said to Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no meros, no part with me. That was a fellowship term. He wasn't saying, if I don't wash your feet, you're not born again or you're not going to be raised from the dead. What he was saying is, if I don't wash your feet, you're not going to be in fellowship with me. Mm. In the same way here, having a part in the first resurrection means that this person is experiencing a special level of fellowship with Jesus during the millennium and, of course, beyond. This person is going to rule with Christ. The second resurrection is the resurrection of unbelievers, the people who are not righteous by faith in Christ. He says, I saw the dead small and great, mm-hmm. and books were opened, and they were judged according to their works, and the sea gave up the dead, etc.
Yeah.
Well, this refers to the second resurrection.
It's both a timing and a class of resurrection.
Right, that's right, that's right.
Okay, okay.
Now, we have a third passage, but we ain't running out of time. But what was the third passage?
2 Timothy 2:12 and 13.
Oh, okay, that one's easy.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
If we endure, we will reign with him. And the point there is, reigning does not tell us, you know, when we're going to be raised, just as we're going to reign. All believers will be raised at the time of the rapture if they're church-age saints. And they will all be with Christ in the millennium. But only those who endure will reign with Christ. So that's how I would explain that.
I can see this being something that we need to discuss further. But if you have questions about what we've said, please send them to radio@faithalone.org. I'd love to hear from you.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, thanks for listening to today's broadcast, and we look forward to being back with you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.